620 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Cammie McCormick. The lights are coming back on in parts of North Carolina after power substations were hit by gunfire over the weekend. But officials nationwide are taking a closer look at their security. Here's correspondent Steve Futterman.
This week it's been North Carolina, but utilities all over the nation are being told they could be next. Senator Mark Warner says it's a nationwide concern.
The fact that someone with criminal intent could take a couple of pot shots and literally throw a community into darkness for days. We need to make sure our electric grid is a lot more resilient.
Security experts say power stations are an attractive and easy target. In Oregon, officials confirm vandals damaged a power substation there during the Thanksgiving weekend. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Biden administration is changing its direction on some immigration policies at the southern border, as Matt Piper reports.
It's a reversal for the Biden administration, as it says it will ask a federal court to keep pandemic-era restrictions in place for migrants at the southern border. It's known as Title 42, issued under former President Trump, and allows the U.S. to expel migrants caught at the border without the chance to pursue asylum in order to prevent the spreading of COVID-19. The Biden administration had initially sought to end the restrictions this spring.
Texas is now the third state to implement a ban on TikTok on state devices. Reporter Chris Fox has that.
Saying the safety and security of Texas is foremost, Governor Abbott sent letters to the Lieutenant Governor and State House Speaker spelling out that TikTok employs Chinese Communist Party members, harvests data, and shares it with the Chinese government. He's calling for the immediate ban on downloading or using TikTok on any government-issued devices capable of internet connectivity. Abbott also targeted the video-sharing social media app in January.
TikTok should be ashamed, condemned, and have a legal action brought against it for promoting human trafficking in Texas.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
So is President Biden running for re-election? Ed O'Keefe reports he toasted to the possibility at a recent state dinner with French President Macron.
The lighthearted exchange came as the First Lady, who was seated at the head table alongside the French President and her husband, described to dinner guests how her exercise routine also helps her clear her head, especially when she's on the campaign trail. That led Macron to ask if she's ready for a re-election campaign. The First Lady said she is, prompting the French leader to turn to Mr. Biden and suggest a congratulatory toast. Macron then led the head table in a toast to Mr. Biden's 2024 campaign by raising a glass of wine. The president, who doesn't drink alcohol, toasted with a glass of Coca-Cola.
The Dow finished up slightly higher. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 14. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, around 5 miles per hour.
Cloudy skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 34. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Now, here's your host, the voice of Badger Hockey, Brian Posick.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. I'm Brian Posick. Quite a weekend at the Kohl Center last weekend, a throwback weekend that included a special Friday night to honor the Suter family for their contributions to the sport and the UW hockey program. And the Badgers treated the Suters and their fans to a 6-3 victory over fifth-ranked Michigan. Six different goal scorers that night. 13 players had at least 1 point. And then in the finale Saturday afternoon around 4 o'clock was the face-off. It's a 2-2 game with 7 minutes left before the Wolverines scored a shorthander and then an empty net goal for a 4-2 victory that snapped Wisconsin's five-game winning streak. Badgers, though, have won five of their last six and now hit the road to play the best team in the Big Ten, the third-ranked Minnesota Golden Gophers, Friday night at 8 and Saturday at 6, and head coach Tony Granato will join us here in just a moment. Also, the second-ranked Wisconsin women scored 17 goals in their two-game sweep at Bemidji State. Captain Britta Kerr had five of the 17 G's, including her first collegiate hat trick in Friday's 13-1 rout. Then Curl had the game winner and an empty netter in Saturday's 4-1 victory. So the Badger women are 13-2-1 and wrap up the first half of the season this weekend at Minnesota State, Friday at 6 and Saturday at 3. And we'll hear from head coach Mark Johnson a little bit after 7:30 this evening. But Tony Granato now joins us here on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. And what a great start to the weekend last weekend against Michigan with the Suter family. Celebration to honor all the contributions they made to the sport, not only in Madison, but the state and really beyond. I mean, you can go internationally if you want to, and then you treat everybody to a 6-3 win. That was just a fun night with the old banners hanging in the arena, and it was just fun all the way around.
It was. Suterman banner up there, by the way? I never looked.
Yes, Suterman was up there.
Okay,
yes,
good.
It was.
Yeah, good.
And Gary said that hung up there back when he was playing. When
that's
you were
the
playing
one I remember
sure.
when we were talking about banner nights. And it was Suter night. I was thinking, man, I wonder if they found a way to look, go back and find the Suter banner.
Look sharp, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, Crohn's Legionnaires.
I heard that one was up there. I didn't get a chance to, obviously, we were focused on Michigan during that game. I didn't get a chance to look around and look at the banners, but that's a nice way to throw everything into the weekend, because that was a big part of the Dane County Coliseum. It was a big part of the tradition of the Coliseum, was the fans being able to come up there and hang banners. And there was some, I remember lots of them when I was back playing that were memorable. And we had the Canadian Club for sure. I remember that. All the Canadian guys were up there, and there were some pretty creative ones as well.
Any in particular about you that you recall?
I do recall, but it was a Granato night, something like that.
Okay,
and then I think when Donnie and Robbie came after, they had something about the brothers and. Mm-hmm. Whatever, but it was cool because it's a different way for the fans to kind of connect with the team, to be able to come up and do that. Now, obviously, we got the signs that the Crease Creatures hold up and they draw it on there, so it's a little bit different than it was back then. But nonetheless, to have a throwback weekend and have Mike Crone in the building, have the Suitors around, it was pretty special.
Yeah, Paul Brown was there.
Paul Brown was awesome.
It
was great to have Paul Brown. I don't know how many years you think PB did it.
Broadcast.
30 plus years.
Yeah, he replaced Bob Miller when Bob Johnson was still coaching, and went all the way until mid 2000s. Yeah, on TV.
Legendary voice, legendary man, mm-hmm. huge, really huge part of the Badger hockey program. So to get him back around was nice. I know he had fun. He had a big smile on his face. He came down to the locker room one day for practice last week. So hopefully he'll come around a lot more now.
Yeah, and you played well on Friday, even though you fell behind 2-0. You know, we had seen in the previous couple of weekends, you can come from behind and get victories and able to do that on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we're obviously a little more confident in our scoring. So I think that when you fall behind a goal or two now it's not panic mode. Now it's just, hey, relax, just keep playing, and we can find a way to get back in the game, and that's what happened Friday. I don't think it was a slow start. I think Friday's game was one of those games where we went into the series, and both teams were kind of feeling each other out the first maybe 10 or 12 minutes of the game. They capitalized on a couple chances, but you know, Charlie Stranwell with a big goal to get us going, then the power play answered to tie it up late in the first, and then, you know, the rest of the game, I thought we played so sound defensively that led to our offense. So all our good sound defensive play against, especially Fantilli's line, he's probably the best player in college hockey right now. We had Lindmark, Mantle, and Horback matched against them. Those guys were able to neutralize that line pretty well, as far as, you know, not giving them much, and that had a big impact on the game. It allowed our guys on the other lines to kind of have opportunities to have longer extended shifts against maybe some of their bottom lines, and I think that's where we started to take control of that game. And the second game, you know, it's frustrating because you're 6 minutes away, it's 2-2, and you get a power play, and you think, okay, this is going to be a big weekend for us, and we gave up that shorty, and obviously Michigan's a heck of a team, and they're ranked top five, and it's for a reason. They're loaded with talent, but it was overall one heck of a weekend for our guys, and obviously we can't dwell too much on that because we're going to go face Minnesota, maybe even a better team this weekend up in Minnesota.
Yeah, although you'd like to play similarly.
I mean, the same. We have to play the same way.
Yeah, you think about Friday. Yeah. You talked about how well you played defensively. Here's Michigan. They came to town, the highest scoring team in the country. You limit the Wolverines to 26 shots on goal. But defensively for you, it really started in the defensive zone with your offensive zone with a forecheck where you really made it difficult for Michigan to get up and go. And that's what they like to do, is transition, much like the Gophers do.
Right, and that was the big difference Friday, Saturday. I don't think we allowed their defense to become as active as they did in Saturday's game because of how we forechecked, how we managed the puck. We say manage the puck is, you know, there's going to be times in the game, especially through the neutral zone, where you're forced into a situation where you don't have a play. That's when you got to manage the puck and make sure that the play doesn't turn into a transition opportunity for them. And we did it much better on Friday than we did on Saturday, because Saturday's game, you could see that 4 and 5 guys in the rush when we did make a turnover. You know, we allowed them to get skating and get to their game, whereas on Friday night, I think we controlled the tempo of the game, the pace of the game, pretty much, you know, like I said, especially after Stramel scored in the first period.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the line of Carson Bantle and Owen Lindmark and Jack Horbach. You know, they continue to do so well for you, but you also can mix and match at any given time, too. You've gone through this entire, the first half of the season, mixing and matching quite a bit, but it seems like you're kind of set on the lineup you'd like to have, although things could change this weekend too, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we fooled a little bit with lines yesterday in practice. I think Bantle's going to potentially move back with Brock and Maddie. I mean, it's important we get those guys scoring. And the other part of it is that we're in Minnesota now. They get the last change.
Right.
So we're not going to be able to get Lindmark and that group against who we want them to. So I think if we split that line up, we'll have a better way of figuring out how to get some of the matchups that we want.
The Badgers and the Gophers again Friday night. It's an 8:00 faceoff. Saturday at 6:00, both on the Badger Sports Network. Tony Granato's with us. We've got more to get to, including hopefully a special honor for Charlie Stramel, and we're looking ahead to later this month and the Quick Trip holiday faceoff in Milwaukee. All of that coming up in just a bit. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Hey Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Wisconsin women's sports are elite. Badger volleyball, the reigning national champions. Women's hockey, one of the best of all time with 6 championships. Women's soccer, 2-time Big Ten champs. At UW Health, we're no different. We're proud to also be your home team with superior rankings, like #1 for orthopedics in Wisconsin, ready to treat any sports injury, and #1 hospital in the state, delivering award-winning care every day. So Wisconsin can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A Midea ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, Midea can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MideaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts,
the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. The Badger women's hockey team at Minnesota State this weekend. Mark Johnson coming up in just a bit. We'll also hear from Badgers junior defenseman Anthony Kerr in a moment or so. And Anthony, it's funny. Here's a young man who's played over 80 games for you. He's 20 years old. That's young for a young man who's played 20 or 80 games already for you. But, you know, we talk about the goal scorers and the goaltenders and what have you. But Anthony Kerr, who has just one goal in his collegiate career, and I don't think he's put up a point yet this year. He does so many other things so well, especially defensively. He's been one of your team leaders.
I mean, you look at the hit that he had on Fantilli in the the first game. I mean, that says pretty much, you know, there's the best player in college hockey, and then there's Anthony Kerr stepping up and making a big hit. It was more impactful to our team to say, okay, that's how we're going to play these guys. We're going to, you know, we're going to play them aggressively. We're going to be on our toes, and we're going to, you know, be as physical as we can be within the rules. So I think that his leadership that he's given us off the ice as a young player, he's one of our captains, but just his day-to-day habits, his practice habits, his always being in a positive attitude, just a sensational kid. And his game is based on work and grit and keeps it pretty simple. But you look at our penalty kill the past, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, it's been outstanding, and he's been a huge part of that. He's a shot blocker.
Yes.
He's hard to play against, and like I said, a phenomenal teammate. So I can't say enough good things about Anthony Kerr.
Yeah. You've killed off 42 of the last 47 power plays you faced. That's very good. That's up near 90%.
So yeah, and
you've got units that you're comfortable with, both in the back end and up front, too.
Yeah, and obviously that's a huge part of why we won 5-6.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, our power play for us Friday night scored the big goal to tie it. Saturday night, the game was on the line. Our power play, you know, wasn't as sharp as it needed to be. Mm-hmm. So again, especially teams make such a huge difference in the outcomes of games. And for us going into Minnesota, we've worked on power play and talked about it a lot this week to make sure that we get back on track. But right right now our penalty killing's going well. You don't want to ever talk too much about it because, again, you're going to face a new opponent in Minnesota that's got enough weapons on both units to scare you and maybe lose sleep over it that scares you so much. But our guys, you know, you look at the two pairs up front for us, that's where we become really consistent. So I think the first part of the year we were trying to find those combinations, but now, you know, with the way that Lindmark and Horvath have played together on a line, yep, it makes sense that they stay together on the PK unit. And then you got Mersch and Sam Stang's really become a very confident penalty killer and added a big piece to that unit as well. So those four have been getting the most reps up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that they've taken a ton of pride in. I mean, they do. And they drive our power play nuts in practice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's competitive. And I think that's where, you know, as a teammate and as a different part of a different unit, you got to push each other to make each other better. And that's what our PK challenges our power play every week with that work ethic and that competitiveness.
Yeah. I'm sure that there people have, not everybody, but people are more than willing to share, hey, you know, why don't you try this on the power play? Or why don't you try it? I'm sure Jeff Sauer heard this all the time, too. Why don't you try this?
Yeah.
You know, and simplistically, shoot the puck, right, would be another thing. So what when you look at the power play and maybe what happened over the weekend against Michigan, what were the issues?
Well, first of all,
and by the way, Michigan's trying to stop you too. It's not like
they did a good job on their especially on their forecheck. You know, when they did get clears, they did a good job up the ice of disrupting the flow of our breakout and entries, which allowed us not to get the setup very often or very quick into the power play. So credit to Michigan, but I thought we were a little bit sloppy on the details of going back for pucks and then as well on the entries. So so we didn't have it like we did Friday. I thought we were sharp Friday, even though we only got the one goal. I thought even though we didn't score on the other power plays, we created positive energy and momentum out of those power plays that didn't carry into their, you know, ability to have momentum coming out of their PK. So, I mean, that's a huge part of the game. If you know, if your power play has a good power play and you create offensive zone time and you move the puck around and it looks good, you know, you're generally speaking, the next line after follows that up and keeps that momentum going. So when that did not happen Saturday, I think it fed into Michigan's ability to jump on us after they got good kills, and it was a big part of the game.
Yeah, and looking at Minnesota this weekend too, it's the least penalized team in the country, so you may get two or three penalty or power plays each night, maybe?
I find it's hard to believe, but looking at the games a couple weekends ago against Michigan State, there were zero penalties in back-to-back games.
On either team.
Yeah. I find that almost impossible to have happen in a hockey game, but it did. Somehow our officials were able to close their eyes enough times to not raise their arm. I don't really know how that happened, but we, you know, we're going back, and obviously as coaches, you're trying to prepare and learn from how they do certain things system-wise, so you go back and you break down the film and you look for power plays and penalty kills to kind of set up your game plan, and we searched through both those games and didn't find a power play on either side, and we're like, that has to be a first in the history of all of hockey.
Yeah,
that you could go back to back games against the same team and not have a penalty at any level. Mike Squirts,
not right, exactly.
It's impossible.
Yeah, I think Minnesota, one of the two teams, it was the first time they had gone without a penalty in a weekend series since 2007, I think, something like that. But I haven't been able to find series.
You can't.
It doesn't matter what conference, right? Yeah, I might as well. Stop looking. Wasting time.
It's a first.
Tony Granato is kind enough to join us every week, whether it be on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, the Badger Hockey Digest. Tony and I talk pretty much every single day about hockey. And yesterday you were actually doing a national podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, with Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette.
Yes.
All right. And is it Mike Grinnell, I believe, is the executive producer from Barstool. What was that like?
It's cool because, you know, it's a different way of kind of talking with former players. So you kind of feel like you're connected with those guys in a different way because they played and they were able to bring up lots of different things that have happened throughout the history of hockey one and also through your careers that you might have crossed paths on, and it feels like you're back in the locker room talking to your buddies. So it's somewhat difficult because you don't want to share some of the things that are respectful to understanding that being part of a team, things happen within a room. Generally speaking, the old saying, it should stay in the room.
Sure.
There's lots of those things that happen over a course of a season, a course of a career that really are meant for just the locker room. And so when you're sitting down with those guys sometimes previous guests. I hope I didn't expose too much, but but we just shared some stories. And what it does is it kind of jogs the memory, where it brings up some things that maybe you haven't thought of for a long time, and a ton of fun. And I think the positive thing that those guys have done is they've created kind of a different way of sharing the game of hockey through a player's perspective. Yeah. And what that's done is, you know, I think brought a lot of excitement to maybe fans that were never exposed to the game of hockey. Mm-hmm. And they've been able to reach an audience that lots of other people haven't been able to. So they've been great for our game. I told those guys that. I think, yeah, you know, at first when they did it, I'm going, this is kind of crazy. Guys are talking about different stories that happened, you know, during their careers. Sure. I'm not so sure this is a healthy thing for everybody. But as it's turned out, I think they've done a remarkable job of doing good for the game of hockey. And it's cool.
Yeah, check it out. Spittin' Chicklets. It's a lot of fun. I mentioned prior to the last break, Charlie Stramel. He's been invited by USA Hockey to its World Junior Championship Development Camp, which is coming up here in about a week or so. The World Junior Championship, December 26th through January 5th in Nova Scotia. Charlie was on Team USA the last World Junior Championship, which actually was played in August after it was delayed the previous year because of the pandemic. He got into one game, but he was 18 at the time. Just turned 19, and he's going to get another crack at it, and feel good for him. I mean, actually, you look at, there's almost 10 Big Ten players invited to that development camp, and we'll see how it goes from here.
Well, I mean, he's, first of all, he's gaining a ton of confidence, you know, in his own game. You know, you saw the goal he scored against Michigan on Friday. Yeah. I just see a kid that has so much potential. You know, the college hockey adjustments for him, for a big guy, it takes a little while to get going. It really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at a bigger player like that, it's hard to get the engine started to get going and turning, and the pace that the college hockey is, especially in our conference.
Yeah.
I think he's done a really good job adjusting. I think he's ready for a big second, but the most important thing for him, obviously, we're going to Minnesota. He's from Minnesota, so he's got to focus on this weekend before he heads to World Juniors. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets to World Juniors, what he can bring to Team USA is lots of things, the versatility that he has. You know, he's a great penalty killer for Team USA last year. We haven't had him kill penalties here, but he's been a really good net front presence on our power play. He's great on faceoffs. Big body on a smaller rink against, you know, kids his own age. He's going to have a chance to dominate physically in the offensive zone, and I think he's really in a good position to have a great tournament.
Yeah, I thought Cruz Lucius might get an invite too.
I did too. I mean, you look at the points and the production and the chemistry that Charlie and him have together. I thought that would be a good pair for them. Obviously, there's a lot of good players. Yeah. There's a lot of tough decisions that coaches have to make when picking a team. But Lucius certainly added some exciting offense to our lineup. And you know, he's going to continue to grow and continue to score and continue to get better as well. So it's nice to see those pair together, because they came together from the program.
Right.
They played together on a line. They're roommates. The chemistry that those two have is really special.
Yeah, and I thought Corson Kuhlemans would get a chance with Hockey Canada after being bypassed last year.
I do too. I think, you know, his year has been inconsistent. You know, I can't compare him to the other players that were potentially going to be on that roster, so I don't know what the other deal on Team Canada, what kind of years they've had. I know Corson does bring an element that any team would want to have, but Hockey Canada obviously decided that this wasn't the year for him. So for him, you know, of course, his game's improved the last two weekends. I think there's some good signs there that the second half for him to be ready for pro hockey, that's where he wants to be in a year. It has to be more consistent, and you know, he's got to take that upon himself. It's part of the maturity process and the growing process as a young player, is to understand that to play pro hockey and to play in the NHL, you know, coaches and teams expect consistency out of you day in, day out. You have to be the same player. You can't have ups and downs, and that's a part in the second half of the year that he's going to have to challenge himself to understand, if I'm going to make it, this is an area that I have to focus on every day, being ready to be the best player.
All right. Again, Wisconsin's at Minnesota this weekend. If you don't mind, it's our last radio show of the semester. After that, you get a couple of weeks off, but you go back to Milwaukee, Fiserv Forum, for the second annual Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. You'll face Lake Superior State on Wednesday, the 28th at 7:30, after Massachusetts plays Clarkson, and then you'll play again the following following night at 7:30 as well on the Badger Sports Network. Your team won that tournament a year ago. It was a lot of fun. The fans were involved despite some iffy weather the first night of the tournament.
Iffy weather and COVID.
Yeah, and COVID. Mm-hmm. The Gazelle Group did an excellent job. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a really first-class event.
They did a sensational job. It was the first time hockey had been in there, so they were putting the rink in as we basically arrived in Milwaukee last year, just a couple days after Christmas. They did a great job. Ice conditions were great. Mm-hmm. That one door, hopefully they've got a seal on that door.
A couple of times.
A couple guys went flying through the end boards last year, so hopefully they got a lock fixed on that. But no, it really was. And like you said, the fans, you know, it gives us a chance to expose our team to outside of, you know, Madison. And we got Milwaukee, we got Green Bay, we got lots of different towns and communities in Wisconsin that are big Badger supporting areas, and it's important for us to go a little beyond and to get out to Milwaukee and to have a chance to play in front of our fans there is really special.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. The 28th and 29th of this month, go to uwbadgers.com for ticket information. Thanks for your time.
Thanks,
Brian. Have a good trip to Minneapolis. We'll see you at Mariucci.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Badgers head coach Tony Granato, Wisconsin and Minnesota, Friday night at 8, Saturday at 6, both on the Badgers Sports Network. We'll hear from Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson in a moment. Also coming up after this break, Badgers junior defenseman Anthony Kerr. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 14. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 34. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow night, chance for snow. Lows level off around 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Well, as we look at the Big Ten standings right now, Minnesota's in first place with 24 points, Penn State in second with 19, and Michigan State 17, Ohio State with 15. Notre Dame, Michigan, and Wisconsin follow that. The Fighting Irish home to play Penn State this weekend. Michigan is at Michigan State, a home-and-home series between those two teams. Ohio State is idle. Wisconsin at Minnesota this weekend. Had a chance recently to catch up with Badgers junior defenseman Anthony Kerr, who I was surprised to recall was only 20 years old. He came here as an 18-year-old freshman. He's played over 80 games. Let's chat with Anthony Kerr. Anthony, hard to believe you played 80-plus games already. You came here, though, as an 18-year-old from Winnipeg. I know you played a couple of years of junior hockey in Sioux City, but what was it like when you came on the University of Wisconsin campus as an 18-year-old ready to play college hockey?
I know, it's crazy. I was looking at the stat sheet a few weeks ago, and I saw that I played that many games already. So to think it's my junior year is pretty crazy. But, no, coming in young, it was definitely quite an experience, different than what I've been used to before. I did play two years in Sioux City for juniors, so I was away from home for a little bit then. But coming to this campus, kind of getting used to, I guess it was COVID that year, but just getting used to how big it is and everything you can do. And it was, I don't know, eye-opening for sure. But I've been loving every minute of it, so it's been awesome.
When did you really start feeling comfortable, not only on campus, but even with the hockey team?
Probably took a few months in my freshman year. Definitely, like I said, it's a shock. It's a lot older than what you've been used to when you've been playing juniors. I was the older guy there for a bit, and then coming here as an 18-year-old, I was the young guy. So definitely took a few months to get used to, but probably once it was November and we were playing games, I was comfortable with the guys and just trusting my ability on the ice, and that carried a long way.
Yeah, it's hard to play defense in the Big Ten. So as you came in as an 18-year-old, what was the biggest challenge for you as a defenseman?
Yeah, like you said, especially my freshman year playing against all the Michigan guys or Minnesota guys, they had some firepower up front, and definitely a shock. But I had a good D partner that year in Jesper Peltonen, so we were able to bond pretty quickly and just work together. But yeah, with the skill in the Big Ten, it's hard. Like you said, night after night, you have to be on your game and can't take a shift off.
Yeah. So you've been in the footprints or the skates of a few of the 18-year-olds on your squad right now, mm-hmm. Tyson Jugnauth and Charlie Strammel and Cruz Lucius. Do you try to help them along getting used to things?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's part of my role now that I'm a junior here. Being partnered up with Tyson, he was kind of in the same situation as I am, being a young guy coming in and playing defenseman. So helping him in practice and then making him comfortable in games. I've made a few mistakes, he's made a few mistakes and had my back. So it definitely goes both ways. But yeah, they're talented, those three for sure.
Yeah, and you can see the skill in Tyson Jugnauth, can't you?
For sure, yeah. I mean, I think the last few weekends especially, he's gotten a lot more comfortable with the puck. And he's able to let his skills show. So.
Yeah, and he's one of only a handful of Canadians on this squad, too, right along with you. So you kind of bond a little bit more, don't you?
Definitely, yeah. I think, I guess there's four of us this year, so more than there has been in the last few years. But, yeah, definitely there's a few more connections that you can make with those guys.
Yeah, and then you look at Ben Dexheimer. He's a freshman, 20 years old, but you need him to play well, and he has so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been awesome. I think coming in with a few more years of experience helped him, and he's been able to step in and be an impact for us right away.
That's Badgers junior defenseman Anthony Kerr. He and his teammates take on Minnesota this weekend at Mariucci. The Wisconsin women's hockey team travels to Minnesota this weekend to take on Minnesota State, and head coach Mark Johnson's next. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Wisconsin sports are superior. Last season, Badger basketball was number one in the Big Ten. Football, number one in the conference for total defense. And hockey, still one of the best of all time with six championships. At UW Health, we're no different. We're proud to also be your home team with number one rankings, like number one for orthopedics in Wisconsin, ready to treat any sports injury, and number one hospital in the state, delivering award-winning care every day so Wisconsin can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
Where can you find the best seats in the house on game day if you can't be at the actual game? Monk's Bar and Grill will always have you covered with more than 20 flat-screen TVs, great food options for every age, and an atmosphere that can't be beat for Badger fans. Outside of the stadium, it's the next best experience you can have on a Badger game day. With six locations throughout Wisconsin, Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers at clearybuilding.com.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A Midea ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, Midea can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MideaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
The Wisconsin women's hockey team wraps up the first half of the season this weekend in Mankato against Minnesota State Mavericks. They'll face off Friday at 6 and Saturday at 3, and head coach Mark Johnson kind enough to join us here tonight on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. And Mark, I know last weekend you went to Bemidji. You flew there. You didn't drive, but because that would be one heck of a drive, but you beat the Beavers 13-1 and 4-1. Wisconsin actually set school records in league play with a 12-goal margin on that Friday night. There were 21 assists in that game, 4 points, crazy. Casey O'Brien tied a school record with 4 points in a period. Britta Curl had her first collegiate hat trick on that Friday night, and then she added 2 more on Saturday in your 4-1 win. Just what you want to do. You go on the road, you play well, you get 2 wins, you come back home, and then you get set to do it all over again, right?
Yeah, so it was, you know, coming off a bye weekend after playing, you know, 2 strong games against Minnesota here at home, and, you know, you want to keep that momentum, and from an offensive standpoint, you know, prior to going up to Bemidji, we worked, you know, for a couple days in practice trying to get pucks to the net as quickly as we could once we entered the offensive zone, because you know, you watch Bemidji play, even Mankato and some of the teams in our league, if you're in the offensive zone, they can really pack it in. That means they've got 4 or 5 people around the net area, and for you to get the puck through that traffic once they get set up becomes really challenging. It's like basketball. If we really play tight around the rim, you know, you can't get to the rim. You're going to be shooting outside shots. Well, hockey's no different, but when we shoot the puck, they'll block the shots. And so you know, we worked on that for a couple days, and then Jackie put together some film of, you know, some NHL teams doing it on zone entries and scoring right away, and then we showed some clips of us doing it over the course of the first part of the season, and it gave them a visual tool of what it looks like and what success looks like, and you're not always going to get the puck in the back of the net, but if you take probably six or seven of our goals Friday night against Bemidji, it was directly on those in-zone rushes, getting the puck to the net, and you mentioned Britta Curl. I mean, two of them came on wrist shots, you know, from the top of the circle area where, you know, think first shot mentality. What am I going to think about? Oh, I want to shoot first. And so we got them to do that, and so they got rewarded with it. You know, we scored 13 goals, and I'm in the middle of the third period feeling uncomfortable because I've been on the other side of the aisle, and it's not fun when your team's not maybe playing as well as you thought. You've pulled your number one goalie. You've got your third goalie in there, and so it's just a positive game for us for a lot of different reasons, and very happy with the way we came out because that was one of our messages, you know, start fast and finish strong.
Yeah, and you'd figure Bemidji would be better on Saturday, and they were, right?
Yeah, they were better. They competed, and obviously their goalie played much better. You know, she only played the two periods Friday, and you know hockey players as well as anybody. You know, when you get humiliated and your team doesn't play well and your goaltender doesn't play well, you know, how are you going to respond? And the best thing about our game is usually if you don't play well that first game, boom, you get a quick turnaround, and you're playing Saturday at 2, you get a chance to redeem yourself. And, you know, they played much stronger, and it was, you know, it ended up being a 4-1 game, but it was a lot tighter than that was, but again, a lot had to do with their goaltender playing much better Saturday than she did Friday.
Yeah, again, Britta Curl, 5 goals, 7 points over the weekend. She was named the WCHA's Forward of the Week. By the way, Casey O'Brien and Sophie Shirley also had 7 points in the weekend series against the Beavers. And then Vivian Jungles, she was named the Rookie of the Week, freshman defenseman, 2 goals, 4 points against Bemidji State. She's fun to watch, and you can tell she's just going to get better and better. My question to you is, how did you get Minnesota's Miss Hockey out of Minnesota to come play for Wisconsin?
Welcome to recruiting, you know, so you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, you present yourself and, you know, you have visits. And the hard part with a couple of kids that, you know, the last couple of years is that, you know, our rules changed a couple of years ago, so we can't have contact with those kids that are in 9th and 10th grade. Prior to that, you were allowed to do that.
Right.
And so, you know, there's some kids that as 9th graders commit to X school. And then they, you know, be 10th graders, 11th grader, you know, they get into their 12th grade, you know, maybe it's not the school that they thought it was going to be, or maybe I, you know, a friend goes somewhere else, or I'm just not comfortable, or that's not the place I want to go, even though as a 9th grader, that's, you know, was my hope I could go there. But, you know, life changes, kids' mind changes, and now with the transfer portal, it's really crazy. And so, you know, you work with kids, you work with kids' families, you develop relationships, and then they're going to make a choice, and sometimes their first choice might not be the right one for them at the particular time, and that's sort of what happened when we landed her.
Yeah. Are you okay with the changes that the recruiting? I mean, you think about at one point in time, I remember Pete Waite telling me this when he was the head volleyball coach at Wisconsin a number of years ago, that, you know, if he doesn't start recruiting 6th, 7th, 8th graders, you know, he's going to get behind the 8 ball. Aren't you glad that you're not, you know, you don't, I mean, you can. You love going to the rink. You'll watch any hockey game there is. It doesn't matter, boys, girls, whatever age. I get that. But isn't it a good thing that we're not putting pressure on young boys or girls in the 7th, 8th grade, even 9th grade time frame in their lives?
It's totally a positive move. I don't think it went far enough because when I first started, especially on the women's side, you know, we weren't able to talk to those kids until they were entering grade 12 in early July. You could make your first phone call. You could do an in-house visit with those kids. And then, you know, they could come to campus and they could make a decision where, you know,
that's
similar,
too late in the process. I mean, when you're putting together a collegiate roster, that's awfully late in the process.
Well, it worked fine for the first 5, 6, 7 years I was doing it back then. And then the men started to trickle down, and they, you know, they're dealing with major junior and kids that are sophomores, and they started committing 9th graders. And then we started to trickle down. So I'll never forget a girl out of Wayzata, you know, went out to visit BC. She was supposed to come into us the following weekend, and they put enough pressure on her as an 11th grader to commit before she got on the plane. And so she called us up and said she wasn't going to visit. And so that started the cycle. Okay, now we're going to go after 11th graders.
Uh-huh.
Then I remember another school, you know, committed a 9th grader up in Canada, and all of a sudden it became 10th graders and 9th graders. And then we changed the rules. And, you know, it's gotten much better because now those 9th and 10th graders, and you had a daughter, you know, let them be a 9th and 10th grader. Let them play hockey. Let them work at their game. Let them go to school. Let them enjoy their friends and not worry about college. And so now as they enter their junior year, now they start putting things together and, you know, deciding, you know, maybe the 3, 4, 5 schools that I want to look at, and then they can go look at them, then they can make a choice. But it's much better today than it was a couple years ago because, as you well know, your daughter was a lot different player as a 9th grader compared to an 11th grader.
Oh, yeah.
And so looking at 8th and 9th graders, you mentioned Pete Waite with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. I mean, I would ask their parents, tell me what kind of player she's going to be when she's a senior.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. Well, how do you think I know?
Right.
I may be coaching the sports, but there's a lot that happens between, you know, an 8th grader, you know, going to middle school and a junior and senior that's in high school. There's a lot that happens in their lives on and off the ice.
Yeah, and I also think in when it comes to recruiting, the parents oftentimes put way too much pressure on their kids to try to get that scholarship to hear their mommy and daddy's old college, whatever the case may be, when these kids are more worried about, I want to play a hockey game and then I want to go eat at, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings with my friends and then dance or do whatever they, you know, and just be kids, like you said. Yeah, you know, so.
And it trickles down. So if your daughter's playing for the Madison Capitals as a 9th grader and she commits to Wisconsin, well, if I'm sitting here next to her in the locker room and I'm not committed, well, my parents are probably freaking out. I'm freaking out. I need to get committed or I'm not going to get a chance to go to college. And you're thinking that as, you know, a 14, 15 year old 9th grader. And it's just like, no, let them be a 9th grader. Let them be a 10th grade. Let them enjoy those 2 years. Let them develop their hockey skills. Certainly you do well in the classroom. And then, you know, we as colleges can start talking with them and trying to persuade them to go here, there, or elsewhere.
Sure. Mark Johnson's with us on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. His program just signed 6 players to national letters of intent. Kelly Gorbatenko, a forward from the Chicago area. Cassie Hall out of Michigan. Bella Vasseur. Let's see. Lainey Potter. She's from Pennsylvania. Ava Murphy, a defenseman from Canada. Ava McNaughton, a goaltender from Pennsylvania. 5 of those 6 played in the U18 World Championship here, didn't they?
They were playing in front of a full house here in June in the under-18 tournament. So they've all been here, obviously, multiple different times and got a chance to experience you know, what our games look like a lot of the time, where, you know, a lot of energy in the building, and for them, they got that experience. And yeah, we're excited with the whole group. They're, you know, great families, great kids, good work habits. All of them played at a real high level. And, you know, the big thing for them is to continue to work at their game, because if they do that, they're going to continue to get better. And that's the excitement we get as coaches here, is to bring them in and work with them and watch them develop both on and off the ice.
All right. The Badgers again at Minnesota State this week. And a couple of other things with Mark here. It was announced this week that 10 current and former Badgers will play either for the United States or Canada in the ongoing rivalry series, December 15th in Henderson, Nevada, which is right by Las Vegas, and then December 19th in Los Angeles. K.K. Harvey, Jesse Comfer, Lacey Eden, Hillary Knight, and Abby Rock for the U.S., Kristen Campbell, Emily Clark, Anne Renee Debian, Sarah Nurse, and Blair Turnbull for Canada. I love watching. I mean, they should be playing every weekend, I think, U.S. and Canada. Although that would take away from your club, of course, and others. But it's always fun and a great opportunity for those young women.
It really is. And so, you know, we'll get back, you know, late Saturday night from Mankato, probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And, you know, as you mentioned, 3 of the players will get on a plane Sunday and make their way to Vegas and get an opportunity to put the USA jersey on and, you know, get to play against Canada, their big rival. And I'm sure there'll be a big crowd, as there was in Seattle in the third game of the rivalry. You know, they set a national team record. They had over 14,000 people watching that game. And when you write a script, that was sort of the perfect night, because I think they came out in the first shift of the game. You got 14,000 people. You got a lot of energy in the building. I think Hillary scored in the first minute of the game. And so it's like euphoria.
Right.
And so if you're writing the script, that's what you want to do. But the players are excited. They didn't get an opportunity to play in those the 3 games just because we had school and, you know, we had games that they were responsible for here. But they get excited. The nice part about those three that will be going from our team is, you know, they're in game shape.
Oh, yeah.
They're ready to go. And so I'm excited to watch them play, and they'll play a game in Vegas, then they'll go to L.A. and play a game, and then they'll make their way home for Christmas break, and then we'll get back together shortly after Christmas and get ready for our second half of their season.
Yeah, I love it. You know, Seattle, it's become a hockey town again. It was, actually, but didn't have professional hockey, and now the Kraken are there, and you see what's going on in Vegas, you see what's going on in L.A. I mean, the sport is growing, and it's a lot of fun.
It really is, and you know, we had a conference call yesterday with all the head coaches in our league, with our commissioner, and they were talking about the first game with Minnesota here that was televised, and the viewership that they had for that game, and the numbers were huge. And so not only people that got a chance to watch it live in Laban, but a lot of people outside of Laban, outside of our state, got a chance to watch, you know, as you saw, because you were at the games, some great hockey. Yeah. So those type of things really promote our sport and what USA Hockey and Canada are doing with their Seattle, Vegas, L.A. They'll probably do another series of a couple games in February somewhere. And so that just grows the game, and our game is in a real good spot right now, not only with what I see in Madison and Wisconsin, but throughout the states.
Yeah. Mark, good luck in Mankato.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully you can keep it going and finish strong, and then a couple of weeks off, and then you've got a top five matchup on the road against third-ranked Quinnipiac, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Yeah, there we go.
That'll be
breaking
fun.
Breaking the new year.
That'll be fun.
It'll be good, and, you know, it's important for a lot of reasons. Obviously, you're getting a good opponent, but, you know, there's not a lot of play outside your league. You know, you only get six really non-conference games, and those will be two of our games. And if you're successful at the end of the year, you know, the NCAA looks at certain things and they put together power ranking points and things like that. So if you're successful against those high quality teams that are having a great season, and Quinnipiac's having a great season right now, at least the first half, they got a good team. We played them here last year. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be a great series. And, you know, if you end up winning a game, you end up winning two games at the end of the season, that really helps you out.
Yeah, and the Badgers don't return to Laban Arena until January 7th and 8th against Minnesota Duluth. Have a good trip to Mankato. Say hi to Bob for me. All right.
We'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Mark Johnson, Wisconsin women's hockey coach. We'll wrap things up in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't, to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'd like to thank Tony Granato and Mark Johnson for joining us tonight. By the way, our next edition of the Wisconsin Hockey Hour is on January 4th. And Dave McCann's done a great job in the first semester. Hopefully he can live up to it in the second semester as well. Transfer portal. Wisconsin women at Minnesota State Friday at 6, Saturday at 3. The Badger men play at Minnesota Friday night at 8 o'clock and Saturday at 6 o'clock. Both games live on the Badger Sports Network. This has been the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Highs around 34 tomorrow, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently it's 26.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcast.